Our community of fetish creators is at the heart of everything we do at Clips for Sale. Together, we'll help you elevate your sales and brand to new heights. Join C4S.com today and unlock the full potential of your brand and build your fetish fan base. Because at Clips for Sale, we believe that community is the key to your success. The letter C, number 4, letter S.com. C4S.com.
The following is a presentation of Dating Kinky, built by kinksters, for kinksters, poly, queer, trans folk, and anyone not quite vanilla. And it's free.
Welcome in. We've saved a special space just for you. We've saved a space where you can allow yourself to be who you have always dreamed to be. One without apologies for who you are, and one without fear. One where you can simply be authentically you. The show is called Authentically Kinky, and it is presented by Dating Kinky and is powered by Clips for Sale. Your host is John, also known as Hi There Catsuit, and each week they visit with kink and fetish personalities to bring you their stories. Now go to that safe space in your mind and meet someone who's just like you, who has lived their life finding out why they are who they are and living a life that is authentically kinky.
Welcome to the amazing Mercy Studio LA. I am John, also known as Hi There Catsuit. I am so privileged to be joined by the one, the only Snow Mercy in your space. It is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm so glad to finally met you. So thank you for coming.
Of course, Snow was on an episode of the old What Women and Other Wonderful Humans Want show. And now I was able to come out here to LA, and first of all, I wanted to meet you, of course, because we had such a lovely conversation, but also wanted to see this amazing space that you have.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you're able to be here. I'm glad to be able to host this episode. So, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the things that we may not have talked about in the last episode. And we were talking just before the show about the fact that sometimes the people in the outside world may not realize the lives that people led before. You were actually a professor, a lecturer at a university in a very intense subject.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
So it almost feels like a different life. I was a chemistry professor. So I taught biochemistry. I also taught general chemistry and intro chemistry for nursing students. Yeah.
That sounds extremely intense.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. Nobody takes chemistry to relax. it's not like one of those classes you just take to goof off. So anybody who's taking that class usually has some sort of career path to be like a medical doctor or a nurse, a pharmacist, a respiratory therapist, chiropractor, you know, dentist. So, yeah.
If you're teaching that, it might have been something that you wanted to grow up to be and be in that field. Did you have a desire to be a doctor or something like that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a great question. So I started college. I had a few different majors, but I was going to go into nursing school. I got into nursing school, but then I was really good at chemistry and biology, and I really enjoyed it. It was fun. And so the people around me, my professors, encouraged me. They said, you know, I think maybe you should be a scientist. And the other option was you either become a scientist or you become like a medical doctor. Those were the two. Everybody was trying to be a medical doctor, and I had the grades, I had the aptitude, but I was like, I don't want to be a doctor. So I became a scientist. And so, yeah, no, I actually finished my schooling. I had a, you know, I went on, got my bachelor's, got my PhD in biochem. Wow. And my goal was, and I had a bunch of different ideas I wanted to do. But, you know, just life kind of, you know, I was married, so that influenced my decisions. Mm-hmm. And just, I ended up becoming a lecturer and professor. So that just seemed like the right fit at that time. And now I'm a professional doctor. And now I do other things. I produce content. I'm a model, actress. But I really enjoy teaching. I love teaching. And I still find it very gratifying. I love science. Science is great. It was difficult being a woman scientist. Mm-hmm. And also, this is the path that, you know, this is where I am right now. I'm not sure what else to say.
Well, but I want to talk about the intelligence there.
Okay, great.
And especially with the fact that the men wanted to seemingly turn you into something that you weren't. You couldn't just be yourself and teach. And that sounds really sad.
So, yeah, I think you're alluding to that we were talking about. When I got my PhD, I graduated, and there was a meeting there. There was, because I just got hired to lecture biochemistry,
mm-hmm.
and which is a very important class. There's about 450 students a quarter. And there was a meeting, and they talked about my appearance, and they said, you know, and there were women present. There were male professors, female professors, mm-hmm. and they said, you know, you're gonna have to like tone down your looks. Mm-hmm. You know, your hair's too long. You need to cut your hair. You know, just like tone down your looks, and the girls are gonna get jealous. And it was just really weird to have this kind of conversation. And then later on, when I was teaching, we got, you know, every quarter we'd get teacher evaluations, that's right. and the students would make comments about my looks. So they would say like, oh, her pants are too tight. Or one student wrote, I went to class just to see what she was wearing. And then it was just really bizarre. Those were the comments. Yeah.
So at what point between biochemistry and Snow Mercy, did you realize that you needed to take your power back for you?
I need to take my power back for me.
Was there a moment when you said, I'm not going to let anyone else define me? I'm going to be myself and become the person that you've become?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was probably after a year of teaching, after graduating, and you know, the school, the university was telling me like, oh, you know, we might not have you back, but, you know, we're going to have you back, you know, but maybe, you know, but we might not keep you. And they were just really wishy-washy. And at first they're like, we don't want you back. And then they're like, oh, we want you back. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not coming back. And they were like, the whole department, mm-hmm. from what I understand, they were really upset. They were just shocked that I told them I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. And I had become friends with the administration, the people behind the scenes, like the administrative assistants and all the counselors, you know, the people who hear everything. And they were telling me that, oh my gosh, they're so upset that you won't come back. And they were calling my friends, asking like, did she get hired somewhere else? Mm-hmm. And they were so upset, and I was told because no one ever says no to them.
Wow.
Because they never get turned down. Like whenever they offer someone a job, everyone's always jumping for that job. And I said, no, you know, just the way that I was being treated, I didn't feel like I was being respected. And so I said, no. And I'm glad I did. It was hard. It was hard. It was scary. It was terrifying. And after that, I was just like, you know, if someone doesn't want me there, I'm not going to stick around and just be the little puppy and go like, oh, please accept me. No, I'm like, if you don't want me, just don't dangle that carrot in front of my face. And that's when I just started deciding, like, no, I'm going to be myself and be who I need to be and not let a career manipulate me, or, you know, people behind my career trying to manipulate me.
So what was the progress from that to the Snow Mercy we know today?
Yeah, so I continued teaching. I got hired somewhere else. And then I was also still working as a dom. So I was working. So the way I became a dom was I started working as a professional submissive at a place called the Dominion, which is in Los Angeles. It's no longer around. And so that was just a very consistent job. I was able to go there and make money. It was very consistent, very supportive. I felt respected. And so I just continued doing that. So I would teach and then I would moonlight as a dom. And it just seemed like the dom work was just so much more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be myself and I can not have to hide. And so I started, you know, I was teaching, working at the Dominion. And then I forgot exactly what year it was, but I did a television show for some friends on Showtime called Sex with Sunny Megatron. And that was when I was just like, you know, if I do this show, it's going to be on mainstream TV. Mm-hmm. And that means everyone's going to see it. So it's not, because before I was doing videos, you know, that would show up on Clips for Sale and other, you know, websites. And it's like, if someone sees it, they see it, then that means like, oh, you're probably looking at those websites. So, but now it's going to be on Showtime. All right. So, it's, you know, everyone's going to see it. So that's when I was just like, okay, this is it. You know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, as one friend says. And that was just when I'm like, I'm going to have to embrace it. And ever since then, you know, I don't like, you know, necessarily advertise it. It's not like, you know, when I go to my doctor, I'm like, hey, I'm Snow Mercy. You know, but it's, you know, I try to keep it appropriate, but it's not, I'm not as in the closet. Like, I'm not like 100% out of the closet. It's also for safety reasons. Like,
absolutely.
Know? Yeah. It's also for safety reasons, but much more authentic now.
I had Mistress Batten, who is an amazing dom from South Africa. And I've told this story to a number of people, but I think it will resonate with you. She was an actress in their South Africa's version of General Hospital, meaning the soap opera. And she was a TV presenter. And somebody slipped a picture under her door and said, this is going to appear in the Sunday Times. And it was her as a dominatrix.
Oh, okay.
And she actually took her power back before they published and actually came out on Facebook saying, this is the real me. If you have a problem with the real me, that's on you. But now that it is out there, I've chosen to live my life as Mr. Spatton and I'm proud of it.
Wow. Wow.
Last week, she did her first movie back because you said you were an actress. And she played a dominatrix. But the crew asked her, what's this all about? Explain what being a dom means, what it does for the people you play with. And she actually posted the thing of her giving the director spankings. The director of the movie. With a paddle. And the director was quite surprised. But the fact is, she wasn't scared of that authenticity. And it sounded like you had a similar story where I'm going to appear on Sex with Sunny Megatron. I am happy with my authentic self.
It's still it. No, that's very brave of her to do that. It's still scary, though, because, you know, people will try to. Not so much now, but a few years ago, during the pandemic, I don't know if I told you the story. I was working in the COVID testing industry, and because of my background, I have a chem degree, and so they found me, and I was perfectly qualified because I have a background in PCR. I knew how to do PCR, and so I was working in the lab, and I was actually running a lab, and somebody in the lab found, I guess, one of the websites I'm on or something, and I guess was showing it around in the lab, which, first of all, is not, you shouldn't be doing that. Sure, right? That's not the place to be doing that. Anyway, I get this random text message from somebody who didn't disclose who they are. I'm like, oh, by the way, they found this. And there was a screenshot, you know, with the website. Mm-hmm. They're showing it around at the lab. And I was like shocked, you know, like, mm-hmm. first of all, like, why would they be doing this? Second of all, I got scared. I'm like, oh my God, am I going to lose my job over this? Mm-hmm. I didn't end up losing my job. I don't know, like, I ignored the text message, you know, I'm just like, not going to even acknowledge it. This should not even be happening. Mm-hmm. This is sexual harassment. Why are you looking at porn sites inside the laboratory on company time? But after that, it was just like, I'm still vulnerable to people being able to use that against mm-hmm. me if they want to. So I have to be careful, you know. But I never brought it up in work. Mm-hmm. You know, I never once brought it. I never mentioned Snowworthy. I never ever alluded to it or anything. So, but still, it's interesting how people want to use that, you know, maybe to disarm me or to level me or something.
It seems as though if they would just simply ask the questions instead mm-hmm. of, we found this,
mm-hmm.
to simply go, okay, somebody showed me this.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain what it's all about? So they'd have an understanding of who the other person is rather than just go, ooh, we found this. Mm-hmm. Because millions of people in their lives have this as a part of their life, but they're scared that somebody's mm-hmm. going to find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not even sure. Like, what is the point? I think, you know, I thought about, like, what is the point of, you know, trying to out somebody? And I can't get into these people's minds, but I think I was in a position of power,
mm-hmm.
Very educated. And I think it helps make people feel like it. A friend of mine says it's called leveling. When you try to like level a woman, when you have a woman who's doing a lot and successful or, you know, has power, it's scary. So you try to bring her back down. So you level her.
Mm.
And I'm like, is that what they're trying to do or something? Or I don't know.
I love the fact that as you see this, I am 6'4" and Snow is taller than I am right now. And I'm very happy about it. This place that you call your studio, Mercy Studio LA, the office. I'd love to have an office like this, but I'd never get anything done. Talk about the ambiance of when somebody walks in here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the ambiance that you're trying to set?
So, yeah, it's a great question. So, when you first walk in, it just looks like a regular kind of like office building. I did that on purpose so that in case anybody comes to the door who's not supposed to be here or maybe a visitor who's not here for BDSM, mm-hmm. it's just going to look like a nondescript office in the middle of North Hollywood. But then as you keep walking down the hall, you start to notice, you know, there's lighting and candles and different colors, and you start to come into, you know, the playroom. Mm-hmm. So I want to make it feel very elegant and feminine, but classy, like in a very classy, elegant. I want it to be feel very clean and safe and private. So if you notice, there are no windows in my building, mm-hmm. in this my whole studio. There are no windows, which is very convenient. And it's also maze-like. So you kind of get like lost. You know, it's kind of just a little, you know, disorienting. And you don't know what time it is because there's no windows.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of get like lost here. I want you to feel just like kind of like trapped in a little... But if you're safe, you're in a place. I mean, if you want to be trapped, that's a great way to feel too. But you know, you escape. You're in a different world. You don't know what's going on the outside. I don't have like TVs. I mean, there is a TV in the domestic room, but mm-hmm. I don't have like. I just don't want their screens everywhere. You know, just you have to. There are no clocks. You just focus on. You know, this is your time. And have some fun.
I call it mm-hmm. the world that exists when the rest of the world goes away when you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the epitome of that. The fact that there are no windows, the fact that time is not a factor.
Mm-hmm.
as a damsel, you make me shiver when you say capture, when people be feel trapped or whatever. This particular thing behind me, if I'm going to step back.
The fetters, revolving wheel.
That looks like a lot of work just to put somebody into.
It is. There's 12 straps.
Mm.
I keep it locked. I don't know if you tried to spin it, but I keep it locked just because.
No, I didn't try to spin it.
I didn't think so, because you're pretty respectable, but I keep it locked because I just want to make sure people don't use it without any training. But yeah, there's a lot. There's 12 straps. Strap somebody in, legs, you know, all four limbs and their torso, and even like the tops of their toes. This thing revolves 360 degrees and it can be stopped every 45 degrees. So every one of these attachment points is where you can stop. So the scene here, so every 45 degrees, you can put somebody, you know, completely upside down.
Wow.
It's not meant to be spun as fast as like a, you know, like Wheel of Fortune. I've done that. And I was like, that's not how you're supposed to do that.
You came up on lose a turn and you went,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I know. So, but no, it's fun. It's, you know, yeah. It's a fun piece by Fetters. And yeah, I would put you in it, but we'd need one other person just for safety. Because if you do get, you know, if this does get stuck somewhere, it is 12 straps. Trying to pull somebody out. Yeah.
One day.
You win day. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I definitely, if you want to, next time you're in LA, we should do like a demo class and we can do it. Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, we would do that. Yeah, I'll do that for sure.
I think I'm going to be coming back. Just a hunch.
Yeah, just a hunch.
This is Authentically Kinky, presented by Dating Kinky and powered by Clips for Sale. With special thanks to our partners, Fetish Con, Masuna Music, Kinkster Merch, Medusa Media Management, and The Adventures of Ultra Girl. Authentically Kinky is on the web at AuthenticallyKinky.com. You can find us on social media on X and FetLife at AuthKinkyPod, and on Instagram and YouTube at Authentically Kinky Podcast.
As a fetish creator myself, I know there are a lot of options to sell my content. But when it comes to a platform that I trust and that works for me, Clips for Sale has always been number one. With reliable payouts, content protection, chargeback forgiveness, and great internal traffic, I know that my content is being seen by the right customers because Clips for Sale invests in marketing to make sure that I succeed. It's time to join a community that cares about fetish creators at C4S.com. The letter C, number 4, letter S.com. C4S.com.
This is the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. That's 25 years of fighting for your rights. NCSF got the American Psychiatric Association to change their diagnostic manual so kinky people can no longer be called sick just because of how we like to have sex. And now we've gotten the American Law Institute to create a legal framework for consent to kink called explicit prior permission. Please join our coalition. We're just like you, kinky and polyamorous volunteers who are making these great changes, and you can help.
For more information, visit ncsfreedom.org.
Hey, did you know that there's a one-of-a-kind matchmaking service for cuckolding and female-led relationships? Join now at venusconnections.com and use the code TOPTIER2024 for 40% off the top 1% membership. That's venusconnections.com. Make 2024 the year that you get the relationship of your dreams.
This is Authentically Kinky, presented by Dating Kinky. And here, once again, is your host, John, or as we like to call them, Hi There, Catsuit.
I actually do have, if you look up, there are six attachment points, six anchors up there. So I could attach all four, because this could be attached at 4 points and it would be much more stable.
Wow. There you go. We have moved into the blue room. And
let me get,
somewhere Temptress Raven Eve is laughing. Because apparently it's a tradition that when I visit somebody on a podcast, I end up talking between my legs. This is a beautiful swing that is on a wench from the top.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, this X theme is custom made by Downtown Willie. Are you familiar with Downtown Willie? He makes a lot of the furniture in Southern California. And so he made my cross, which is behind, I think you can see.
Yeah.
I can see my cross. He actually made the, you didn't see that earlier, the bondage. He's made that bondage table, mm-hmm. The CBT throne, and he made this spanking bench behind us. And so, yeah, he installed all this. He made the, these two suspension, mm-hmm. Hey, what would you call those? The rigging.
The wenches?
The rigging, those rigging beams. He made those. So yeah, now he's like the go-to person. So yeah, stay on his good side. If you're on his bad side, he won't make you anything. But no, I'm not. It takes a lot to get on his bad side. I just know he makes great stuff and very capable. So yeah.
So if I'm hoping I'm on your good side over.
No, I'm just thinking about not everybody. I'm like, does everybody have Downtown Willie stuff? I'm like, no. No, they don't. But yeah, his stuff's the best. Really great stuff. But yeah, you can just fall asleep. Oh, wait, did you have, where's the pillow?
I don't know.
Oh, you're under the pillow.
I'm under the pillow.
Let's fix that for you.
Please let it be known that Snow Mercy is making me comfortable.
But I just...
What did I do?
Wait, let's not drop your mic.
No, I'm not going to drop my mic.
Okay. No, because the pillow is here, and I'm afraid it's going to drop your mic.
Gotcha. Let me grab my mic.
And we might have to, I'm going to have to. I think it's because you're really tall.
Yeah.
And you're slippery.
Yes, that I am. Oh, definitely.
Please seek out.
No.
Because you're.
Yes.
You have to. No. Here. Never had to do this before.
What?
That one's ever this tall. Give a go on this thing. This is actually a car seat.
Wow.
Thing that you can add to your car. And I was like, I bet that would work. And it's sweet. Oh, you're sitting on some chain. You didn't have chain work. Here we go. Now you can.
Oh, darn.
You see if this will work. Almost. Yeah, so something new every day, right?
But here is part of what makes this so amazing. This is work. This is not something that it's... When people go to see a pro dom, they think that, it's just somebody doing something to somebody else. But there's a lot of setup and a lot of orchestration that goes on.
Preach.
So tell me about how long does it take you to set up for a scene?
At
least an hour.
It depends on the scene. It depends also how long of a scene. And it also depends if I've seen the person before. I don't know if that's going to work. That's not going to work.
It's okay.
Okay.
I can hold my head up.
Can you?
I will hold my head up.
Okay.
It's not predicament bondage unless I'm holding my head up or something.
But yeah, no, it can take a while. The cleanup though is always longer.
Yes.
Yeah, it could take hours and hours to clean up. All right, you're good. Your neck's gonna be all right. Okay, you'll be fine. You could always. I do have the pillow because if someone's in there and they're like, oh, my dick. Or I can use saran wrap, put some saran wrap here.
Yeah.
See, saran wrap from the side of that sign is kind of a little hammock for your head. I just touched you. I should ask.
You absolutely have consent.
Okay.
But I will warn you then when I had my interview with Mistress Riley up in Minnesota, she started caressing my head and the last segment, I was totally in subspace and trying to ask questions in subspace is not easy to do.
So it's comfy though. I'll sit in it. So like if a client comes over and takes too long in the bathroom, I'll just sit in this and just like pretend like, oh, I was taking a nap. Taking a long time in that bathroom. What were you doing?
Describe your joy in doing what you do.
My joy. You always ask the best questions.
Cute.
And like they're hard questions. The joy. I really enjoy the flow I get into when I'm playing, and then I enjoy the connection I share with the person, and just knowing that that person was able to experience something that they can't experience, they rarely get to experience anywhere, and this is something that they can't just find anywhere. You can't just go on, you know, the anywhere and do this. So it's just, it's really unique, and it's just very, it's very special to know that I'm sharing someone's deepest, darkest secrets that they can't even tell their wives or their girlfriends or their, you know, their friends, you know? So, yeah, that's just really fun. Really, really fun. And it's just, you know, and I also, I like doing this kind of stuff. I would do this stuff even if I wasn't doing it for a living. But I think the living part, doing it for, as a career, adds a different element because, definitely adds a different element, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing this in exchange for money. It takes a lot of trust on the other person's part to come in here and just dealing with that. And then the shame. There's lots of shame. So also just trying to help them with that. And everybody expresses their shame in different ways. You know, some people will express their shames by like just being kind of like treating me disrespectfully or something sometimes, you know? Like for example, I was on a, I'll explain. I was on a phone call. I was doing a online, you know, phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Not online. I was doing a phone call with somebody, just a regular phone, but through a website. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. And so they, you know, I have an ad there, and then the person calls me, and we were having a great time, but then like they said some stupid stuff to me. They were saying something about like, they mentioned like they brought up my age, and I'm not insecure about my age whatsoever. I don't talk about my age necessarily because it's a security thing. I don't want people knowing my exact age, because then, you know, the more information, you know, you can track me down better. Excuse me for a second. Let me just... Even a dom needs to like wipe her nose if she's having allergies. That's why it's... I'm not crying over the story. Okay, but yeah, you looked like, huh? So what I mean, like when I was talking about someone being disrespectful. So the person was really obviously, I think, very insecure about their kink, and they were into cross-dressing, and they were talking about how they want to be transformed into a woman, and they want me to put them in, you know, panties and gowns. And then he's just like, you know, but your videos, you should probably charge less for your videos, because I'm like, what do you mean I should charge less for my videos? He's like, well, you know, because you're older. And I'm like, where did this even come from? I'm like, what are you even like, why did you even bring this up?
You have the honor of talking to Snow Mercy, and you say that?
I know. It was just really, it was just like, okay. I'm like, I didn't really ask you for any business advice, did I? And I said, actually, if you knew anything about videos, you would know MILF videos are very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. And I just kind of just like, just. Whatever this, I'm like, I'm not here to give him a lesson on that. We're here about to talk about cross dressing, but I think it was like him kind of like, I think coming out of his subspace for a moment and realizing like, I shouldn't, you know, thinking like, oh, this is, I shouldn't be doing this. This is shameful. And I think that was his way of just, you know, trying to take his power back by trying to take away my power.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't let him.
There's two different ways I can go here, so I'm going to go this way.
Uh-huh.
You are, and I'm not, I'm meaning this as a term of absolute compliment, you are a sweetheart.
Oh, thank you.
you are so kind. You're so much fun to talk to. When we were setting this up, you were sending me ha-ha, and it was just, it was a lot of fun just talking to you there. How can you put yourself into the mindset of being someone that takes great power and provides great pain?
Oh, well, you have to have both sides, I think. Yeah. They balance each other out, I think.
Are people ever surprised at how
I can be nice.
Nice and sweet you are?
Yeah, but also you're really nice and sweet, so you bring it out at me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also, it takes two, because I can be a real grouch sometimes. I am a real strict grouch who...
Yes, ma'am.
Lays down the law. But you're very kind and considerate and respectful. So you're going to bring out, you know, the kinder side. You know, if you were a complete jerk who was like, just kind of like came in here with your stuff and treated this place like, you know, you own the place and just throwing stuff around and moving stuff around without asking me, you would get a different side.
And you keep...
Because I've had people come in here and they start moving my furniture without asking me and start. And I, exactly. You're looking at me like, why? And I'm just like, you can move my furniture. Just ask me. Because maybe there's certain ways to move it, or maybe I don't want it moved for a certain reason. You just ask. Because people will do that. And then they like, oh, how dare I? You know, like, this is my place. I think I have a right to tell you where you can put your stuff or what. You know, mm-hmm. Don't just walk in and just head to the bathroom without asking me. There could be somebody back there.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Or people who come here early. That, you know, one reason I told you not to come here early is because you don't know who was here beforehand. There might be somebody finishing mm-hmm. something beforehand. And they might be people who don't want anyone to know they're here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm so strict. So anybody listening to this, where I'm like, please don't show up early. Please don't sit around in my parking lot. It's for good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's for... You know, you just don't know what's going on before your appointment time.
So yeah. I must admit, I got here 2 minutes early and sent a text going, I am terrified to send this text and I'm going to wait 2 minutes to send it because I found your studio. I learned in an episode with Terra Indiana, you do not show up early. Otherwise, you're going to be cleaning George's feathers and getting spanked on the behind.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I think everybody must, I think most people who see me know by now, like, don't show up early. Because I'm mm-hmm. usually, I'm so busy. I'm doing things. There's sometimes I'm not even here until 5 minutes before the session because maybe I have dogs. Maybe I had to, like, drop mm-hmm. my dogs off at daycare or something. You
don't know
what I'm up to. Maybe I'm on a phone call. Maybe I'm talking to somebody else. Maybe I'm talking to, maybe I'm shooting a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know. Just, you know, kind of like, I know you're excited to see me, but now you can't wait, but just, you know, give me a few more minutes.
I must admit, and I don't know if it's because it's an emotional day. I mean, this entire experience in Los Angeles for me has been nothing short of surreal.
Yeah.
To be able to meet people that had such an influence in my life. You being one of them, because I've dreamt of BDSM aerobics classes for the longest time and have wished there would be somebody there for me to do that. But I had a few butterflies before coming in.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I honor places like this. I honor people like you because it's the proper respect to give to somebody who has put so much into their craft to help so many others. When a person that is authentically kinky arrives in this place, can you get a sense of them genuinely being respectful and being here for all the right reasons?
Mm-hmm.
And does it make things better?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Also, I'm going to fix your wrist. I'm sorry, I'm doing it. Oh, this is making me nervous. Will you just grab this so you
don't light up this? Yes.
So you don't like have nerve damage or anything. And your microphone just.
Welcome back to Snow Mercy Finds My Microphone. Here, I'll clip it. We'll do an edit there.
Okay.
And then I'll re ask that question. Yeah, it was getting hard to hold the microphone. So
there we go. Okay. So, and if you hold, I just noticed that you're.
pretty soft part of your wrist was getting pressure, and I don't want you to get hurt in a bad way.
I'll ask the question again.
Okay. Can I put my feet on you?
Absolutely.
Like right here.
Well, we had to do a quick edit, but yes, you are absolutely welcome to, and I would be honored.
Basically, just like that.
No. Now, I do, I've talked about this on the show. I do not have a foot fetish, but I am really enjoying the fact that there are two cat-suited legs that are using me as an ottoman, and I love that.
Yeah, you're just like a little, like a footstool, like a aerial footstool. I don't know what to call this. And a floating footstool?
The floating ottoman. Where the cat suit special.
It's there.
Oh, hello.
Yes, we're still there.
So we were talking about you being a sweetheart and you being kind. When people who are authentically kinky walk into this place, is it a totally different vibe for you that allows you to just do your best because you know they appreciate it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, when someone knows who they are with their kink and fetish and they're accepting of it, I can feel that. I can feel that energy. Yeah, it's different from, like, there are people who definitely are very aware of their fetish and they're very aware of their kink, but they still don't really accept it, it seems. Like, they're still kind of like, I can tell that there's still tension there and shame there. It's a different way of playing. It's almost as if they're just like trying to chew through a meal and just like swallow it and just be done and get out rather than savoring it.
I had a great therapist that said, taste your food. And what he meant by that was take the time to enjoy what you're having. Take every brief moment, every taste, every change in sensation, everything, and take it into account. And to me, that's very much what a good scene is, when you are totally present for that person. And there's, I believe that people who come to see you or people who genuinely enjoy kink and are authentic will always have a great appreciation for the time and effort and the talent that the other person has, but also that there's this ball of appreciative energy around with every single movement saying, I am so thankful for you right now. I mean, the fact that you put your feet up here and you're using me as an ottoman because I am one that loves sensation and loves touch. I am experiencing what the latex feels like through my cat suit.
Can you?
Yes, because there's a smoothness to it. And I hear the latex when you move, and the shine is just so amazing. And, you know, you are a beautiful soul and a beautiful person. That it's almost surreal being able to be here and talk to you. And if I'm just doing a podcast with you, I can only imagine what sharing that space would be like if I was actually here with you and you were going into my dreams rather than me asking you about yours.
Yeah, I can tell you're a lot of fun to play with. I'm sure you get, like, you go deep. You go deep.
And I think it's probably because I've talked to so many doms and I hear their stories, and the stories that you all have, the story that you honored us with at the beginning of this podcast, because if the world asked more questions, if the world understood us more, then they would see that here is an entire community that's based on consent. Here's an entire community that's based on communication. What are all the things that we're missing in life? In society these days, consent and communication.
And also just trying to understand I'm adding to that. I agree. I'm putting my foot right here.
Oh, hi.
I'm trying to get fresh. Oh, this is nice. It's like a little pocket for my toes.
Oh.
I put my feet like just between, like between your back and the swing. So it's like a little right in there. And then I can do this.
Oh.
Swinging. There were swingers. So yeah, so adding to consent, and you said asking questions, and also I think the community, the kink community, is also very much into not shaming people for what they're into.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that is stressed much in the vanilla world or the civilian world. Like there's so much shame, like, oh, you want to do this? Like you want to wear woman's clothing, or like, or isn't the man supposed to be in charge? What, the woman?
Oh, please.
Stuff like that. So I think we also were against the shaming, more acceptance, and just, you know, and embracing things that are different and unexpected and not being so scared of it. Yeah.
Interesting you put it in that way, because when I teach in my normal job, I tell the people, because they'll deal with angry customers from time to time, I say, take the word angry and replace it with the word scared and see how differently you see the person.
Yeah.
Because that guy who said needed his power back and was ashamed could very well be going, I can't believe I'm actually doing an online session, and why am I doing this?
I agree.
Coming out as authentically kinky and living my authenticity, all those fears went away. And I think it allowed me to enjoy scenes and enjoy the connections I made. Some of the best connections I've ever made in my life have been through kink. Uh-huh. And I'm so appreciative of that. Yeah. And pardon me, Snow Mercy and I were talking about the fact that some podcasters make the conversation about themselves, and I just realized I did that.
No,
and I apologize.
No, you're good. No, you're not like you're not like that. No, because you're not like making sure you're always in the shot, or you're like, yeah, you're not talking over me, or
I'm just making sure you're in the shot, because
yeah.
Nobody's tuned in to see me.
I'm in the show. Yeah.
No.
No, I don't think. I think it's different. Like, no, it's the people who kind of just use me for their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done a lot of what would you say, like
media or podcasts, interview.
I haven't done a lot. I think COVID kind of put things, you know, like kind of slowed things down, but things are starting to pick back up again. But, like, I have noticed there are people who are just, like, there for their own agenda. They're, like, they're definitely, you can tell that they're looking for some kind of soundbite from me. They're looking for some kind of something, some kind of look, or some kind of scene that they can use for their show to, you know, for the advertisements or what, for advertisers or whatever. I can just tell, like, they're looking for, and I'm not, you know, and they're kind of trying to lead me that way until I do it. It doesn't feel that way at all here. So, and I've learned now to like ask questions before I even accept an assignment. I'm just like, okay, so like, where is this going to go? And what are you trying to do? What's the purpose? And because I've been burned before where I thought it was going to be, they were really do care about kink and learning about me. But I just find like, nah, they didn't. I'm just here for the shock factor or something. Or yeah, I don't feel that whatsoever here. So, yeah. You comfy? You're so. You don't have to lock it. You're not locking your knees.
I'm not locking my knees.
Yeah.
She's taking care of me. How amazing.
I just see, like, I'm just like, I don't want you to, like. But no, this is today. I'm supposed to do a foot worship session today. Maybe we've never used a swing.
Oh.
Use a swing for the foot. Well, yeah, we'll see. So it was feeling.
we're going to take a break. And when we come back, no, I'm not thinking of foot fetish, but I am thinking of worship. We will take a break on Authentically Kinky, presented by Dating Kinky and powered by Clips for Sale.
Authentically Kinky is the official podcast of FetishCon. Join us for the largest trade show in fetish in 2024. It's in St. Petersburg, Florida, August 8th through 11th, and you can get all the information at fetishcon.com. Visit our Authentically Kinky store at kinkstermerch.com. You can find empowering designs for all you authentically kinky people, as well as an entire range of designs for all the kinksters in your life, all at kinkstermerch.com. If you want to catch episodes of The Old What Women and Other Wonderful Humans Want or any of Authentically Kinky's previous shows, you can find links to them all at authenticallykinky.com.
Step into a world of luxury and privacy at Mercy Studio LA, North Hollywood's best kept secret. Our boutique studio offers a personalized experience that combines opulence with functionality. Picture this: custom-made furniture, a curated toy collection, and all the amenities you need. Mercy Studio LA is the perfect space for your private rental, photo shoot, or video production. Call or text 747-239-4991 now.
Now, let's get back to John and their guests on Authentically Kinky. Presented by Dating Kinky and powered by Clips for Sale.
Welcome back to Authentically Kinky. I am in the wonderful Mercy Studio LA with the one, the only Snow Mercy at her feet on her throne. Reminisce a little bit for me about your journey. How gratifying has it been? How challenging has it been? How joyful has it been?
My journey, which...
As a pro-dom.
As a pro-dom. Okay, so this year marks my 20th anniversary of being a BDSM professional. And so most of it's been as a pro-dom. And it's the most consistent job I've ever had. And... it's been one crazy wild ride that I never, ever expected to be doing for this long. I thought once I finished school, I'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not done with kink, but like done doing this professionally. It's, it's really interesting because I'm now becoming a senior dom. Or I don't know if that's the right word. One of the older doms.
Oh, geez. You're not an OG.
I can't say I'm an OG because there's people definitely who came before me who deserve those accolades. But I'm now, you know, I'm an older dom, and it's really fun actually being an older dom and seeing the younger generation. I wish the younger generation would listen to the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hi, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. You know, I mean, some of them do listen, but I'm like, okay, now I get where that was me when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Was I like really annoying when I was a baby dom?
I bet I was annoying.
It's been really fun. I want to help the baby dom's younger generation just learn how to do this safely and be able to, I think it's great for women to be able to do this, even if it's just like, you know, just a few months or temporarily till they go on to whatever next they're working towards. And I want them to be successful and not be victims of any kind of problems. And it's been nice trying to help them along.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do more of that. I haven't been able to do a lot of it lately. I've been just wrapped up with my own personal life. But I think now that things are kind of simmering down, I can get back into doing more service for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm always helping people who rent from me. If they want to like ask me questions or if they want advice, I'm more than happy to do that. I'm not somebody who, you know, is like, oh, I'm not going to help you.
No.
I try to help others. And I would like to get more active with that. So actually, we were talking about DomCon, which unfortunately you don't get to go to this year. You never know. Things might change. But why did I bring up DomCon? Oh, because I'm a guest of honor at DomCon.
Yay!
And it's I was a guest of honor 10 years ago in 2014, so I'm a guest of honor again. So I'm like, you know, I really need to take advantage of that. And while I'm at DomCon, and I was thinking, you know, it would be really fun to, you know, perhaps teach a class or give a seminar about, you know, how to be a pro and, you know, how to be safe. And but I think this is all part of my journey going back to teaching. I love to teach. I love to help others. I love to spread my knowledge because a lot of this stuff, there aren't really a lot of, there are books, but not nearly enough about this. And I think some of the books were written from a different, like from a male perspective. And I think, I know I'm like, I need to write a book, but I and things change, you know, things evolve. So books that were written, you know, just a few years ago don't, you know, now there's all these new platforms. And so we have to keep evolving. And I think my next thing is to help the younger generation do this and be authentically kinky.
What is the one thing you miss from the old days when you first started?
Oh, gosh. It was easier to be anonymous back then. There was less worrying about people maybe taking your photo or taking a video. I was not as self-conscious back then because you could do, you have your fun and no one was going to record you. And now it's harder.
Yeah.
Because people might be recording you even secretly. And that's kind of off. That's definitely off-putting. And then what do I miss about the old days? I just miss like how incredibly stupid excited I would get over things, like learning new things.
Yes.
You know, I do get excited, but it's like I've learned so much now. Like I remember when I first found, like, people want to be tickled. Like, just be like, what? And just like having my mind, I don't get my mind blown like I used to. I want to get my mind. Every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, wow. You know, like, wow, that's a new one. I've never even considered that one. But I used to just like, everything was so new and shiny.
What is something that a client or a sub can do for you that creates joy in your heart?
Always give me a compliment. That always feels good. And to give me joy. To be respectful and to honor our time and bring me joy. To not forget about me. Don't forget about me.
Could anyone ever forget about you?
I don't know if they forget. Maybe to keep in communication every once in a while. Just a little like, hey, thinking of you. Or just like, I don't need a letter. You don't need to give me a whole letter. But, you know, every once in a while, just like, or support me in somehow. You know, maybe you can buy one of my clips. Or maybe you can subscribe to one of my, you know, one of my online fan services. Or just something that, you know, like a photo, share a photo with something, just show some support so I can continue doing this to keep, so I can keep the roof over this dungeon, keep the lights on. And, right.
You have been so kind and so amazing to me and giving me your likes and just being so open. And I was over the moon when I found out I could come out here and actually get to talk to you face to face. It's fun talking through Zoom, but it's, if I could somehow explain to the audience the amazing energy that's existing in this space of understanding, kindness, appreciation. I hope that by being able to see it on video, that people will understand just how special it is that these wonderful women and other wonderful humans, to go back to the old title of the show, the time they give me and the stories they share. And I am so honored to be able to share yours.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you made it out here.
I'm not going to forget this lady. That's the darn sure.
Thank you.
For Snow Mercy, I'm John, also known as Hi There Catsuit. I am authentically kinky. I think you are too.
I try, yes.
I hope I've earned the privilege of your time, and I remind you to always remember consent and to love each other always.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Is my will dissolving, or are you resolving all the tension stored in my mind? With the space I'm in, any day could end. When that you create will be by design. Take me captive as your dog.
Joining us for the show. You can get all the information on the podcast by visiting AuthenticallyKinky.com. You can find our theme song on Spotify. It's called Freya by Masuna, and you can find links to their work on our website as well.
This has been a presentation of Dating Kinky, built by kinksters for kinksters, poly, queer, trans folk, and anyone not quite vanilla. And it's free.